What a beautiful day.
Be able to come together and worship the Lord and to open our Bible study from His divine word. We want to invite you to take your Bibles this evening, or this morning. It's not this evening yet.
Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs the fourth chapter.
We're going to be looking at a few verses in this chapter, verses 10 through 19 to begin with. And we're going to be making some points from that text. This morning we are going to be continuing a series on dealing with problems that we face as Christians. And the problem of overcoming bad habits is going to be our focus today. You know what? Sometimes all the switches and things just don't resonate in your mind that you need to flip. I feel sometimes like a pilot when he gets in the plane, going through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the things he's supposed to do, and I know I forget sometimes to do everything I'm supposed to do. But thank you very much. This morning we're going to be talking about overcoming bad habits, or sinful habits specifically. And when I use the word bad, I mean things that are sinful, things that we must and need to put away in order to please God. This being the first of the year, we're 2 weeks into it now. How many of you made resolutions and you determined that you're going to put aside certain things in your life? You're going to stop those things, those sinful habits that you've had. You're going to stop. How many of you have determined you're going to get in shape this year? You're going to exercise, and you've had a good start so far. You've exercised on a regular basis, and you feel pretty good about that. Will you keep on? Will you continue to do what you ought to do? What about overeating and things of that nature? What about some of the resolutions that you have made? Have you kept them? Are you going to keep them? How is it that we continue, seemingly, year after year, to make the same resolutions, and then we continue year after year to fail? Now, just because we fail does not mean that we need to stop making those resolutions, that we need to stop determining to do what's right and get our life in order. What it means is we need to try a little harder. That's what it means. The term habit, defined by Webster, is a custom or practice, especially an aptitude or inclination for some action, acquired by repetition and showing itself in facility of performance or in decreased power of resistance. In other words, a habit is something that we get into because we do something over and over again, and it becomes part of our nature. It becomes very easy to do. Mark Twain said, "To cease smoking is the easiest thing I ever did." I ought to know. I've done it 1,000 times. The question, though, isn't to stop a habit, it's to stay stopped. It's to overcome that habit, it's to defeat it. That's what we're going to be focusing on this morning. Here's the danger that we all face. Our thoughts become words. Our words become actions, and our actions become habits. Our habits become our character, becomes a part of who we are. And our character determines where we will be for all eternity. We need to be careful about the things that we do, and we need to sincerely and aggressively approach ourselves and the problems that we face. Are you allowing bad habits in your life to rob you of happiness, your health, your spiritual growth, spiritual productivity, confidence in your security? How many of us are allowing things that we have gotten into the habit of doing over the years, and we just cannot seem to break those habits? And because of that, and we know where we stand with God, we know that that's wrong, and we shouldn't be doing it. How many of us are allowing those things to continue on in our life? We must decide to put those things away. Now again, what we're talking about, sinful habits. Things that are wrong, drug addiction, drinking alcohol, pornography. Those things can become not only habit-forming, but addictions. You know, our chemical makeup in our mind actually is altered and can be changed by the things that we take into our mind. Not just the things that we put into our body. Not just the drugs that we may put in. Yes, those things alter our physical, our makeup. Our chemical makeup. And our bodies become addicted to those things. And our body has to have them in order to function.
And when we withdraw those things from our body, have you seen someone going through drug rehab? Have you ever watched someone going through that process? They become literally, physically ill, sick. I mean, harm. They're hurting. They're in a lot of pain. Because their body is physically addicted to those things. But you know that your mind can become addicted in the same way? What you take in actually alters the chemical makeup and the way that your mind functions. When we sit children, for example, in front of a television when they're very young and they're just continually seeing these things, it alters the way that they take in information. And it affects them throughout the rest of their life. Pornography, when you take it into your mind and you continually feed on that, don't you know that your mind becomes addicted to that? That the physical images and the feelings that are produced by that become habit-forming? Covetousness, gambling, and those things, I mean, those things can become habit-forming. There is such a thing as Gamblers Anonymous. Why? If it wasn't habit-forming, why would that be? Would be. Tobacco, overeating. Yes, gluttony is a sin. I don't mean necessarily just overeating every once in a while. I'm talking about a constant habit of overeating. Gluttony, the Bible condemns. Cursing and swearing. Filthy words that come out of your mouth. But not only that, taking the Lord's name in vain and things of that nature. Those things are wrong. Those are habits that we get into that we need to stop. Lying. A person can become a habitual liar. For some folks, friend, it is easier for them to tell a lie than it is to tell the truth. I knew a fellow like that one time. Gossip, fault-finding, complaining, worry. We can get ourselves into a habit of continually worrying about things. What does Matthew chapter 6? What does the Lord tell us about that? Do not worry.
Wasteful, absenteeism, tardiness.
Are we on time? I mean, all of these things can become habit-forming. Anything that we do on a regular basis becomes a habit. And by the way, bad habits are a lot easier to make than they are to break. Don't you know that? So how do we overcome these things? Step number one.
In fact, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 at this time. And I want to read through verses 14 through 19, make some quick observations, and then we'll move on with some other points. Beginning in verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. In other words, first of all, don't start the habit. That's the best way to avoid one. Don't start.
But look at verse 15. Avoid it, do not travel on, turn away from it, and pass on. Verse 16 says, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. You know what? It's done become a habit for these evil people. It's a part of their nature, their character. And a lot of folks out there who teach in the inherited sinful natures, they look around and they see human beings living this way from habitual practice. They see that. But that is an acquired state. It's not something that they're born with. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. A person who gets into a sinful habit, it will increase and they'll want more and more and more. And it escalates. Then verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. And you see, just the opposite is for the righteous. The more he does, the more he serves, the easier it gets. And then in verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. We become blind to our own faults. We become blind and desensitized to our own sinful habits.
And we just give up and say, you know, that's just the way it is. That's the way I am. So why try to do anything about it?
The first step is to recognize and identify that we have a problem. And if we're not willing to do that, we will never overcome a sinful habit. We must first identify that thing before we can start dealing with it. Blindness to the need of stopping a bad habit ensures the rejection of all pleas to stop. Our parents may say stop. Our friends may say stop. Our children may say stop. All of those around us may say stop, but let me tell you something. Until you recognize that you have a problem, you're not going to stop.
In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, the church at Laodicea,
how did they view themselves? You know, the Lord saw them as being blind, wretched, miserable, and poor. But they saw themselves as knowledgeable, as rich, wealthy. How did they see themselves? In order for them to deal with their problem, they had to recognize their problem. You know, the cause
must be identified, not just the symptoms. When you go to the doctor,
and they begin to treat your symptoms, there's nothing wrong with treating symptoms per se. But you know, until they find the cause of your symptoms, they're not going to cure you. Same thing with the habit. We need to get to the root of the problem. What is it? What's at the heart of this issue? I mean, why do people curse? It's not because they just have a habit of, oh, these things are just things they say on a regular basis. That's not really the cause of it. The cause of it is something in their heart. They have something there that is keeping them from doing what is right. They have something in their heart that is causing these things. They need to get rid of that. And isn't that what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 15, verses 12 through 19? Isn't that exactly what He said when He talked about the words that proceed from the heart? If you want to clean up your words, clean up your heart. If you clean up your heart, then the words will take care of themselves. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 26. Let's cleanse the inside of the cup. If the inside of the cup is clean, the outside of the cup will be clean also. We need to take care of the inside. Find the cause and let's cut it off at the root. I mean, weeds, you know, they're just going to keep on growing. You've got to get the root and everything out. And the sooner the better. The longer you continue in a practice, in a sinful practice, guess what? The harder it is going to be to stop. The Bible is very clear, friend. It is very clear about the danger of going to the point of no return. There is such a line. I don't know where that line is for you, but I do know that there is such a line. That there is a line that a person will go past. That he cannot find it in himself to turn back to the Lord. And we need to be careful about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, Hebrews 13 and verse 15, both talk about today is the day of salvation. Today, not tomorrow, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to turn away from sin. We must cultivate a strong desire to quit. We must identify the problem, then we must cultivate a strong desire to quit. And by the way, that desire to quit must be stronger than the desire to continue on in that practice. We must cultivate a desire to quit. Jesus talks about the importance of desire in knowing the truth in John 7 and verse 17. If we desire to know His will, we will know the doctrine. And Romans 6 verses 16 through 18. Ye are the servants to whomsoever ye yield yourselves servants to obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. We yield ourselves one way or the other. And it's a decision that we have to make. Do we want to serve God more than we want to serve our flesh? Do we want to serve God and spend eternity with Him more than we want to serve ourselves and spend eternity in hell? That is the choice that we have to make. And we need to think seriously about that choice and the consequences of our choice. The desire to quit must be stronger than the desire to continue. And it requires proper and sufficient motivation. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Psalms 112 and verse 1. Yes, we must fear the Lord. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Everybody who says, I love the Lord. Oh Lord, how wonderful you are. The question is not, do you love the Lord per se? You say you do. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. If you do not keep His commandments, you do not have the proper love for the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. 1 John 3, 5 and verse 4. We must have the motivation of loving God, of perfecting ourselves in fear of holiness. And we must turn to the Lord and serve Him. Do we have the proper respect and love for God that we need?
If we love God, we will keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Not grievous.
You know, it really boils down to people do what they really want to do. And you can consider any habit that you have, any bad habit. You're going to do what you really want to do regarding that habit. You're going to do whatever it is you really want to do. That's the end of the matter.
If you want to quit smoking, and you really want to quit smoking, you will quit smoking. You will. But you have to want it. You have to desire it. If you really want to, you will quit. If you really want to turn away from some sinful habit, you will have to desire to do so. Thirdly, you must cultivate a hatred for the habit. Cultivate a hatred for this thing that you want to put away. Love righteousness, love truth, love the Lord, but hate iniquity. Matthew 5, verses 29 and 30. Turn in your New Testament over there with me, Matthew chapter 5. You know, the Lord speaks in some radical ways sometimes, and here is one of those times that He speaks very radically. Notice what it says in verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, what does He say? Pluck it out. Now, He's not saying, you know, literally pluck your eye out from the standpoint that reaching your finger and you pluck it out. He's saying you cut off anything that leads you into sin. Any activity, anything that tempts you, you get away from it. He goes on and He says, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. We must take radical action. It demands a hatred for that which is wrong. Too many have a lax view of sin and its consequences, friend. In our society, we mock at the idea of sin being a bad thing. Oh, everybody does it. No big deal. Not according to the Lord. You can go down the catalog list of sins in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, or Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. You can list them all. Friend, we need to see every one of those things as being evil, being terrible. We need to come to see sin as being black and hell as being hot. And we need to see sin for what it is. We must hate anything that prevents us from bearing fruit for the Lord. John 15, 1 through 7. What will happen to the branch that no longer bears fruit? The Lord cuts it off. That's what He does. Psalms 119 and verse 104. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Verse 97 says. Then in verse 104, I hate every false way. And we need to develop that attitude. We need to develop the attitude of hatred towards that which is wrong. Abhor that which is evil, Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Abhor that which is evil. Do you have that attitude towards sin? Now, if you have that attitude towards something that you are doing, you're going to find it a lot easier to quit it. I don't care what it is. So we need to identify the problem. We must cultivate a strong desire to quit. And we must cultivate a hatred for that. We must seek God's help. There is no sin that cannot be overcome. Let me say that emphatically. There is no sin that cannot be overcome. Not a one. God's will regarding all of us is that we repent, that we turn away from sin. Acts 17 and verse 30. God is no longer slack concerning, or God is not slack. God once was overlooking the ignorance that was in men. But now, this is what the Apostle Paul said, but now hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. Not just a few, but this command is for everybody. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 30 through 32. What did the Lord say there? Why would you die, O house of Israel? Repent and live. Repent and live. We can turn away from sin. That's what God wants. What temptation cannot be overcome? Is there anything that cannot be overcome? Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. They're the weapons that the Lord provides for us as His children, are sufficient for us to overcome all things that that war against the soul. Look at verse 10, beginning. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you may be able to stand. That's what the armor's for. Now, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all, A-L-L, all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We can take these things, we can, by God's help, through God's help, overcome any temptation in our life. Every fiery dart that the devil wants to throw at us, taking the shield of faith, we can repel that dart. And we can overcome. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There is no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. For God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape. It's always going to be there for you. You can overcome. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. What does Paul say? Paul says, I can do a few things through Christ Jesus. No. He says, I can do most things through Christ. No. He says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Whatever the Lord wants me to do, I can do it. I can overcome. I can be an overcomer. I can be a victor over sin and the devil through God's help. And something else. You know, we must seek aid from our brethren. We must seek, and we can find comfort and accountability from one another. And there's nothing wrong with placing ourselves into a position of which we will be accountable to somebody else. I think it's a good thing. When we have a problem that we need to overcome, you find somebody that you can trust, that you can place your confidence in, and be accountable. Help, let them help you. Place your confidence in God, but you know what? God has given us each other as well. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. You know, the elders have certain responsibilities, but we must submit to the elders in Romans 15 and verse 1. The strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. In Galatians 6 and verses 1 and 2. If anyone is overcome in a fault, those who are strong are to help them, to bear them up with gentleness, with meekness. And so we need to submit ourselves to those who can help us. And humility is so important in this. In fact, humility is important in all of these. Because if I'm not humble enough, I'm not even going to recognize my sin. I'm not going to recognize my need to change. I'm not going to do what I need to do. So I must humble myself before the Lord. And you know what? I think sometimes a lot of people put too much responsibility upon the elders and upon other members of the church regarding the erring, from the standpoint that, you know, elders cannot force people to do what's right. Can't do that. We can plead, we can talk, and a lot of times we don't know what all is going on behind the scenes. We don't know about the communication that's taking place. We don't know about all of the prayers that are offered. We don't know about the meetings that take place. But I will say this. The elders nor anyone else can make somebody do what they do not want to do. Can't do that. So the strong cannot force accountability upon the weak. They have to submit themselves. If they're not willing to do that, then no one can help them. So we must seek aid from brethren who are able to help us. And finally, take action now. Don't wait, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, I've already messed up this year, and wait till January 1st of next year. That's not smart. The sooner action is taken, the easier quitting is.
That's just the way it is. You know, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, remember, now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Start early. Start young obeying the Lord, because it's a lot easier to start early than it is to develop a lifelong series of bad habits. And then when you get older, to say, hey, I want to serve the Lord today. Which is easier, start while you're young and serve Him? Those of you who have come out of that type of situation, you understand that. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. It's easier to start them when they're young and train them. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 again, today is the day of salvation. What if you were diagnosed with cancer? You go into the doctor's office and you go through a series of tests and they come to you with the bad news. You have cancer. Now, here's the good news. We think that we found it early enough that we can cure you. But we need to take action right now. We need to get you in the hospital and we need to plan surgery right now. We need to get it taken care of. What would you do? Would you say, well, let me go home and think on it a few months? What would you do? Which is worse, sin or cancer? Now, cancer is bad, and every one of us here, I believe, this morning, every one of us, if we found out that we had cancer, we would do everything we could, as soon as we could, to get it taken care of, wouldn't we? But what about sin? Which is worse? This goes back to the other point. We need to see sin for what it is. It is far worse than cancer. Can we understand that? The consequences of cancer is our physical death. The consequences of sin is eternal death. Which is worse? Which is more serious? Now, there are some steps in how to break a bad habit. But let's move on and let's talk about a few other things here quickly. Our old habits need to be put away. But as we had read earlier in Colossians chapter 3, you know, the Apostle Paul here makes some points that are very practical. And we understand, I think, the importance of doing it this way. In order to put on the new man, of verse 12, we have to first of all put off the old man. Now, just putting off the old man isn't good enough. Because if we, you know, like the man who had the demons driven out, and then it was all his insides were all swept and cleaned up, but then he didn't fill it up with good things. What happened? Those devils came back, and they were worse in the latter end than the beginning, Jesus says. But what about our deeds and our actions, our thoughts, and all of these things that are bad? Okay, we decide we're going to turn away from these things. We need to fill the void up with righteousness and holiness. For example, our thoughts. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Instead of thinking about material things, worldly things, sinful things, we need to get that stuff swept out of our mind and we need to put in our mind these things. And friend, I'll tell you right now, this is the beginning point. If we are going to overcome sinful habits, we need to replace how we think about those things. We need to start thinking like God thinks about those things. It begins in our thoughts. How do we see those things? Colossians 3, 1 and 2, if then ye be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. It begins with us placing our mind on things that are spiritual in nature and not on the things that are material, that are fleshly and worldly in nature. We need to set our minds on things above. By the way, that is our responsibility. Set your mind on things above. Romans 8, 5 and 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And that is going to be our thought process. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You know what he's saying here, very simply? Though, and you can tell where people's minds are by what they do. That's what he is saying. Those who live according to the flesh, guess what they've done? They set their minds on the things of the flesh. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing the things that are of the flesh. But those who are walking according to the Spirit, who are led by the Spirit of God,
Guess what they're doing? They are doing the things that are of the Spirit. They are being led by the Spirit. They are obeying the law of the Spirit of verse 2. That's what they're doing. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it begins in our thoughts, in our mindset. What do we think about? What is on our mind? Then we need to turn our attention to the things that are most important. We need to learn what God says. God at one time overlooked their ignorance. Acts 17 and verse 30. You know what? He doesn't do that anymore. He expects us to learn what He has revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ. In Psalms 119 and verse 11, Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against You. Friend, if we have the Word of God in our heart, in our mind, and we're constantly thinking upon the things of God, as verse 97 says, Oh, how love I Thy law, it is my meditation all the day. How often are you going to stumble into sin? If you keep the Word of God in your heart, how often are you going to fail God? In Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16, Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. We need to be searching the Word of God. Acts 17 and verse 11. Now these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Is that us? Are we fair-minded? Are we honest? And are we searching the Scriptures daily to see whether those things that we are being taught is so, is true? It doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what any other preacher says on the television, the radio, or in book form. Doesn't make any difference what anybody writes. The question is, what does God say? Thus saith the Lord. That's what we need to follow. That's what we strive to follow here. What does the Scriptures say? These are the words of God. And we need to search them to find out what He wants from us. Prayer. How many sins are committed while on our knees praying? I mean, we need to be people of prayer. Luke 18 and verse 1, the Lord said, Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Pray without ceasing, Paul said. It ought to be a habit. You know what? All right, we're going to replace our sinful habit of talking, saying things that we shouldn't say, calling people and talking to people that we shouldn't be talking to. We're going to replace those habits with prayer. Prayer is going to become a habit in our life. Do you pray daily? Do you have a regular set time to pray like Daniel did? What about prayer? Is that a habit in your life? Attendance. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be people who attend regularly. We ought to be people who want to attend. I mean, that ought to be our desire, to be with children of God, with people who worship God, who serve God. That ought to be our desire. And if that's not your desire, there's something wrong with your thoughts. You need to go back and look in your thoughts. What do you think about? Those who love the Lord love His people. And we should want to be with each other. And sharing our faith. You know, those who truly are converted. I want to tell you something. I've been studying with some individuals due to the radio program recently. You know what? Some of the fire that these individuals have, it's so encouraging. So encouraging. People who are truly converted to the Lord and are truly interested in spiritual things, you can't stop them from talking about the Lord. How wonderful that is. That's the way the Christians were in the first century. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the Word. They were persecuted in one place, so they didn't say, well, lest we be persecuted again, we better keep our mouths shut. That's not what they did. They went from this place where they were being persecuted to another place and they began preaching the gospel there. And usually what happened was persecution would arise there and they'd go from that place to another place, preach the gospel there. That's the way it worked. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8.
For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. The Macedonians and those in Achaia, they all heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Thessalonians. They're in Thessalonica. They heard. These individuals went out and sounded forth the gospel. Is that us? Instead of talking about things we shouldn't be talking about, let's talk about things we ought to be talking about. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the truth of God with our friends and our neighbors. Doing kind deeds. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Just as God in Christ forgave you.
Are we people who want to forgive? Are we kind to others? Are we willing and ready and always desiring to do good and kind deeds for other people?
Romans 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Galatians 5 and verse 22, a fruit of the Spirit is kindness. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, love suffers long and is what? Kind. Instead of doing things that hurt people, let's do things that are good for people. Let's replace one bad habit with another. Speaking words that lift others up instead of speaking words that lift up or tear others down. Some folks, that's all they care about doing is tearing somebody else down. They can have no happiness, no joy in their life until they are trying to tear somebody else down. Because they've got to have somebody worse off than them. That's the bottom line. Isn't that sad? What a sad way to live. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you're also doing. Hebrews 3 and verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. And there again, we need each other. We need help from each other. We need the uplifting words of each other. Not things that tear us down. Acts 11 and verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them with all purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. We need to encourage one another under that end. How do you make a good habit? Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. We started there, let's go back there and let's finish our lesson up in the book of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverb writer tells us exactly what we need to do. Look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. That word incline, that means to bend toward. That means to lean toward. If I incline my ear to the Lord's sayings, what am I doing? I am coming to Him and I am desiring to hear what He has to say. I am wanting to hear what He says. Are you desiring to learn what God wants? What does God say about the things that I do in my life? Am I willing to hear what He wants to say? Do I want to hear what He has to say? Do I seek that out? Before determining what I'm going to do, do I first consult the Word of God and find out if it's something He approves of or not? Too sadly, what often happens is this. People begin a habit and then they say, I wonder what the Lord thinks about this. And then they go look in the Bible and they well, He really won't mind. And what they do is they'll start a practice and then they'll try to turn to the Word of God and try to justify that evil practice. Instead of going there first and find out what the Lord wants. Do we desire to serve the Lord? Commitment. Look at verse 21. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, in health to all their flesh. Do not let them depart from your eyes. You just keep staying right there and obeying the Lord and hearing what He has to say. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That requires commitment, doesn't it? We must be committed to overcoming these evil habits and taking on these things that we need to do in order to serve the Lord. Commit ourselves to serving God. Are we willing to do that? Then verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. This is a duty that each of us has.
And you young people, you listen very carefully. In your early stages of life, right now, you prepare your heart. You fill up your heart with the things of God. You serve God now. It'll be a lot easier than later on down the road after you have all these weeds that's grown up inside of you to go in and try to pull them all out. It's a lot easier to start off. And keep your heart with diligence. Don't let those weeds get in there. For out of it spring the issues of life. What's in the heart will come out in life, in your practice. So we need to, with all diligence, do the things that are right and good. And we need to focus. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. The path has been defined in God's Word. So let's keep our eyes on the path and let us keep our eyes on the goal. Stay focused, and friend, we will not be deterred. Let's put blinders on. Let's put blinders on so that we cannot see the things that are on, you know, outside that will lure us away. Let's keep away from those things. I know that we're going to see some things. I know that. But we need to stay focused on the things that are good and right. Then in verse 26, ponder the heart of your feet and let all of your ways be established. Ponder. Determine where you're going and what you're going to do. Let your ways be established by the Word of God. Let God define your path for you. And then dedicate yourself to following that path. Do not turn to the right or to the left. You stay on target. Desire, commitment, diligence, focus, determination, dedication, and finally, action. Remove your foot from Eden. Get out. Today. Get out. Friend, be careful of your thoughts. They become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your character, and your character will determine your destiny. Are there sinful habits in your life that you need to get rid of this morning? Is there sin in your life that you need to have washed away? Please recognize your need. Recognize your need for the forgiving blood of Christ. Recognize your need for eternal life. Recognize your need. Recognize those sins and put them away. The longer you continue in sin, the harder it will be to stop. The longer you continue committing things that are against the will of God, the harder it will for you to repent of those things. Our pride, our ego will eventually take over and snuff out our will and our desire to do anything about it. Stop today. Repent. Turn away from sin. The word repent means to have a change of mind. That results in a change of action. And in this case, we're talking about turning away from sin and turning unto God. That's what you must do. Please cultivate a hatred for sin and all that stands between you and your spiritual growth and your eternal reward with God. Cultivate a love for God. Cultivate a love for that which is right, good, and holy. Cultivate a love for all that will help you serve the Lord. And cultivate hatred for all those things that will detract, that will hinder, that will destroy your relationship with God. Oh, how we need that attitude. And how we need to start today to develop that attitude. We need to replace sinful habits with godly habits. Don't just dig up a bunch of roots and leave it alone. Because what's going to happen if you do that? The weeds will just come right back. So let's pull out the roots. And let's plant some good seed in there and let's grow a good harvest. Let's take determined and decisive action today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Today, though, you have. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Today is the day of salvation, friend. You can come to the Lord today. If you're willing to repent of your sins, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you believe that with all of your heart, and you're ready and willing to turn away from sin, and you're ready and willing to serve the Lord, do it. Confess Him this morning before this audience. Confess the Lord and Savior Christ.
and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, being added to his body. Being raised to walk in newness of life, you'll be cleansed of all of your past sins, of all of your transgressions, and you'll get a fresh start, a brand new start. Isn't that wonderful? Now, you still may have those habits. That's not going to wash away the desires, but that's going to wash away the guilt. And that's going to wash away the consequences of the things that you've done in the past. But you're still going to have those habits and those desires to deal with. We want to help you do that. We want to encourage you to continue on. Maybe you are a Christian and you're not living as you should. You've turned back to the world. You've got some habits in your life that you need to deal with. If those are public in nature, we want to help you. Let us help you. Is there anything we can do this morning? Won't you come as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected for your encouragement?